Desire your prayers. Lord, have mercy. Help us out this morning. I've had this message on my mind for several days, but I wasn't planning to go anywhere this weekend. And then when Brother Bob called and asked me to fill in for him, I started praying. I felt like this was what the Lord wanted. I already had the message. And what are you thinking on? What's your thought pattern? Let's go to Philippians 4 and 8, please. Philippians 4 and 8. We'll start there. It's my text. Said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I worked for a used car dealer for several years, and he had a very sweet old mother. She was just a jewel. But she had one, what I call, and they were a religious family. She was married to a preacher. And John's dad was a pastor and preached for many, many years. But it come the fall, and she changed. And what I mean by that was, she was different somewhat. And that was, she was so caught up in OU women's basketball. Either the daughter or granddaughter, somebody told me, said, that's all grandma can think about at this time of the year, just OU basketball, OU basketball, OU basketball. John took her to every game he could get her to, and that was about everyone that was out there, because he had the resources and everything. They even went up to Kansas City, I think, one time, for a national deal. And I got to thinking on this. I thought, Lord help us, there's better things to think on than basketball and football and baseball and a lot of other things out there. The Lord has things for us to think on that is nourishing, encouraging, inspiring, challenging, stirring in every way. He wants us to think on these things. Now, there's words right here that we're going to work with. But I'm thinking, Lord, help us. When we go to meeting, is how much do we think? Well, I know we're thinking now, but what about the rest of the week? You got basically three services a week. You all don't have two, I guess. But is that the only day that we put a lot of time into thinking on this, or do we think on it more than that? Do we dig scriptures out? Do we dig into it? Do we open up and try to dig and get? There is so much in here. This is life. This is power. This is authority. This is encouragement. This is inspiration. This is everything a man needs to get to heaven. It's basically everything a man needs to live life. Because we can find all kinds of answers in here, and everything that is available from God to man is right here in this book. It's the greatest book that's ever been put together. It's the greatest book that is alive, so to speak, for you and I to do what we need to do. So he said, whatsoever things. Let's go to Psalms 40 and 5. Psalm 40, 40 and 5 are Psalms here. If I just get over here where he's at. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. That's right here. This tells us everything we need to know from God, the creation, everything. And the bottom line is, most of the people read about everything but the Bible. I have seen Bibles sitting in bedrooms with dust on them. I've cleaned them. I've dusted them and everything. But the bottom line is there's not the participation in the Bible like there used to be. People just don't have much use for it anymore. But you and I, it said, many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So there's lots of things out there that God has got for us, but are we getting them? How much are we reading? How much are we studying? How much are we thinking on the Word of God? Several years ago, about 13 years ago, a little over 13 years ago, Rebecca Ann was on her deathbed. And I had gone to work one morning. I don't know if this is after the Lord showed me that he was going to take her or not. I don't know. But anyway, I was a basket case that morning. I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried some more. And I finally, as I was cleaning the house, there was nobody there but me, which I'm thankful. Finally, I said, Lord, please help me. I said, if I'm this bad before she dies, I'll be a basket case after she's gone. And the Lord spoke to me. You know what he gave me? He said, think on these things. And I went and got my phone. I didn't have, of course, didn't have my Bible with me, but I got a phone, Eastward app on my Bible. And I pulled it out and I started reading. And guess what? Things started changing immediately. Everything began to improve. I got my mind off of her, got my mind into this, and that began to bless me and help me and feed me. And we get into trouble, we have problems, we have all kinds of things can happen. And the Lord wants us to get into these things. He wants us to read various scriptures. I've got many scriptures that I love, and I'm sure you do too. One of mine that I use a lot to send out to people that are sick is, lift up thine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh thy help? Thy help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If you think about what that is, that's saying that his power is great enough to do anything. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And I've tied those two scriptures together even more lately than I had before. And the bottom line is, the power that's there for Jesus Christ to do anything. It's the church. Somebody goes, well, that's just the church. No, it's everything. Everything that you and I could ever ask for, he has the power to handle it and work with it in one way or another. It's not that he's sitting on the sideline and just babying us. And he's doing that too, probably. But the bottom line is, the power's there. So I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh what? My help. My help cometh from the Lord, which what? Which made heaven and earth. He created it. He's got it in control. He runs it day and night. There's not anything that's not touched and handled by the power of God. Brother Bob Forbes one time, many, many years ago, he told me he had a vision. He said in this vision was kind of a chalkboard type deal. And he said there was two hands there in white gloves. And he was writing all over this board different things. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm controlling the whole world. I'm taking care of the whole world. He can take care of you and I. Sometimes we get desperate. Sometimes we get shook up. Sometimes we cry. But the bottom line is, he's got it in control. Nothing's out of control with God. But what we have to do sometimes is get in this little darling right here and see what he says. And he's got thousands. Well, all right. How many scriptures are in the Bible? Can anybody tell me? There's 66 books and 1,189 chapters, roughly 31,102 verses are individual lines of scriptures. Old Testament, 39 books. New Testament, 27 books. So there's plenty there for you and I. Nothing, I could be wrong about this, but I don't think I'm too far off. The bottom line is, this would cover anything that we'd ever have a need of. But think on these things. He said, think on these things. Sometimes I know we have to think on our jobs. I know we have to learn, think about learning when we're in school and so forth. But he would like some of our time for this too. And not just Sunday and Wednesday, but it's 7 days a week, 365 days a year. This is a blessing to whoever digs into it and says, Lord, I need your help. Sister Margaret A. was at Monarch. She was sick. She'd had affliction. Let me put it that way. I don't know that she's sick, because she'd had affliction for a while. And she wasn't getting healed. And the preacher got in the pulpit, if I remember right, and he preached on, and he sent his word and healed them. Now, that's not all the scripture, that's just part of it. He sent his word and he healed them. She said, I got a hold of that sitting in the bench at Monarch, and God healed me right there. She got a hold of that, the whole scripture, I'm sure. But he sent his word and he healed them. The Lord has anything we need. One scripture, a part of a scripture, just a word out of a scripture, has so much power to it that he can give us what he can bless us and open it up. Like I said, I've been I've been working or thinking on down through the last several months about all powers given me in both heaven and in earth. And I've broadened that out in my mind greater. And then tied that in with Psalms 121 and 1 and 2. And it works together well. Think on these things. Think on these things. If we could get the world, young people, if we could get all the young people, well, all right, let's go back. I'm older than some of you and younger than others. But the bottom line is, when we was young people, we weren't doing the things they're doing now. They didn't get a gang together and go into 7-Eleven and start just trashing the place and stealing stuff. They wouldn't bust into a major store and start grabbing this, and run out and be gone. We didn't do those kind of things. If we did, Mom and Dad probably whipped us real good. Give us a spanking. Said, you don't do that. Well, the mamas is working, the daddies is working, babysitters are taking care of the children, and they've grown up without any of this here, I would say, at all. And so consequently, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. So, whatsoever things are true. All right, let's go to 1 John 5 and 20. 1 John 5 and 20. 1 John 5 and 20 here. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God. All right, let's jump back here to John. St. John, and let's look at two places here right quick. True. I'm thankful today that we can always believe that he's true. True here is genuine, pure, real, not counterfeit or false. Everything about God is true. Everything about Christ is true, and the Holy Spirit is true. We can always believe them. They can give us something, and we may kind of wonder. You know, maybe there's a scripture that I really haven't got a hold of. I've read the whole Bible. I read different parts of it many times. I preached that for over 50 years. But the Lord could give me, maybe I don't know a certain scripture very well, but he gives me part of it or whatever, and I go looking it up, and it's true. It's true about him. It's true about life. So God is true. Christ is true. John 6 and 30 says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then? Showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life and to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Now he said here, I am. He's the true bread. He's the absolute. Now we can eat food, and all of us do, survive. We can eat it, and it can help us. But there's a point. It's going to run out, so to speak. I mean, you're going to get hungry again. I have a physical problem that I've had for many years, and I don't say much about it. But if I don't eat basically in a certain time period, and this varies, this is not something that's cut and dry. That's what's so strange about it. It's not cut and dry. If it was, it would help me. But if I don't eat sometimes within a certain time, I start having a stomach hurt. Now I can eat, and that will take care of that. But it goes and comes. This right here. We can eat Jesus. We can eat the true bread. And it's going to stay with us forever. If we keep working with it and keep reaching after and saying, Lord, I want more and more. And Jesus will give us all that we need to go to heaven. John 4 and 21. Jesus said that a woman believing, woman, believe means the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know what Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak. She found the true one. She didn't know who she was talking to start with, but she discovered that the Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a true one. One that she could trust. One that she could build on, to work with. That's you and I today. We've learned a lot since we got saved. Some of you have been saved longer than I have. But the bottom line is, you've learned. He's taught you. He's revealed to you. He's opened up to you. He's helped you in so, so many ways, more than anybody else has. All right? Honest. Let's go to Romans 12 and 17. Romans 12 and 17. I said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And then 2 Corinthians 8 and 21. 2 Corinthians 8 and 21. Providing for honest things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. The Lord wants us to be honest. He has got it laid out. And there is so much dishonesty anymore in the United States. Again, it's sickening. But the Lord wants you and I to be honest. Stand out. People can be, in other words, if we tell them something, all right, I'm going to come help you on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. They're going to depend on that. They'll know I'll be there. And if I get sick, I can call them and tell them. But all the different things, financial-wise and different things, people look at us and they know. I had some candy machines. I'm not bragging when I say this. I'm just going to use this example. I had some candy machines years ago when I was in the service station business. And I made a mistake with one of the guys that worked there. And I said something and he figured out that he could use something besides real money and get candy out of that machine. You didn't have to. Now, most of them, this was a different type. It was a type that you put money in and slide it in. So consequently, it didn't have to be a real quarter or a real dime or whatever. And so something was said, and my boss, which later I believe was my partner, he said, listen, he said, I trust him. I know him. I believe in him. He backed me up to the hills. That is what we want. We want people to look at us and say, he's honest. She's honest. They know that we are what we say we are. We'll do what we say we'll do. We'll stand by what we say we'll stand by. That will help everybody out. But the people today are not very honest out there. There's just not much honesty left. Honesty is fair, just, equitable, free from fraud, sincere, frank. All right, let's go to just. Whatsoever things are just. All right, let's go to Zechariah 9 and 9. Zechariah 9 and 9. Zechariah 9 and 9. Here, see what this says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, a colt, the foal of an ass. Now that he says here that he is just. Just means, in a moral sense, upright, honest, righteous, religious. So he said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout. O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, look at, study, consider, thy king cometh unto thee. They didn't know just everything, but they begin to see, they begin to hear, people begin to respond. And they can see that he is just. They can see that there was salvation involved. Lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. So they saw that and they liked what they were seeing. All right, let's go to 1 John 1 and 9. 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now then, he says, if we confess. It doesn't say if we join the church. It doesn't say if we do this or that. It says if we confess our sins. The Lord wants us to do the right thing. To get to him, we've got to confess. We've got to forsake. We've got to be willing to repent and to open our hearts wide open to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me and save me. I'm just an old sinner, Lord. Brother Sammons, when he down at the altar that time, and I use this quite a bit, but he was down there and he wasn't getting anywhere. And finally he said, Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. And he got it right then. Have mercy on me. God's full of mercy. Jesus is full of mercy. The Holy Ghost has mercy. Listen, they're willing. He said, if we confess, if we can get people to listen, if we can get them to confess their sins and open up and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Have you ever made a mistake? Well, when you got saved. When you got saved, you opened up. You started begging, you started pleading. I don't know all of your individual experiences on that. I heard some, most of the ones I've heard is preachers, but I've heard some saints. But the bottom line is, he said he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Sometimes we make mistakes. And we think, I shouldn't have done that. Or whatever. And you come back to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And reach out to him and talk to him. And what does he do? He responds to that. We respond, he responds. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. There's a cleansing here that only he can do. There's a powerful cleansing. No matter how deep we are, no matter how dirty and filthy and ugly and everything because of the quagmires of sin has made us, the bottom line is He's still able to clean us totally. And He don't take 4 or 5 cleaners to do it. The blood will take care of the whole thing. I've done janitor work for years. I've cleaned all kinds of things. I've had people bring it to me and take me to it, so to speak. And I think I can do something with that. But I also started usually with one cleaner. If that didn't work, I had another cleaner and another cleaner and another. Jesus just has one, the blood of Jesus Christ, that is able to do what we need Him to do, thank the Lord. He said there that, He said, but walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank the Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess, oh, I like that. If we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We had a job one time, and a man by the name of Jack Ething, I think was the last name, he was kin to Lloyd, I think, through his wife, Judy. I think that's right. I don't think it was direct because Lloyd was an ex. I think it was through Judy. Had to be. Anyway, Jack worked for us. He was good. He was a good gender. And so Lloyd and I went into a house where he was working and walked into the kitchen. And Jack goes, Lloyd, he said, you finally done it. What did I do? He said, you found something I can't clean. He had hit his match. And what it was, you remember these little 4-inch square tiles? You ever see them put on a countertop? And you got your white grout in there? You put a little grease in there, and you put a little this in there, and it's not easy to clean, brother and sister. I guarantee you, been there. And he was struggling. He was hurting. He couldn't do it. Jesus never shakes His head. He never says, I can't do it. He just does it. And we have the response of the peace and the joy. There was one man years ago in California, tall man, and he went to the altar. And he was praying, about 2 or 3 was working with him. And he was praying. And all of a sudden, I seen him just lunge forward, just up over. Now, like I said, he's tall, so he didn't move further over the altar. When he come up in there, he had it. He had it, praise God. God had forgiven him and delivered him. And if I'm not mistaken, he lived that away till he died. The grace of God, the power of God is able to help us in every way we need. So he says here, faithful and just. All right, pure. Pure. What scripture comes to mind on pureness? It said, blessed. Blessed are... Well, let's see, what scripture is it? 5 and 8. I'm not reading far enough down. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, for a long time, I thought that was strictly talking about the end and heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But it came to me later, well, several years later, or several years, well, back away. So I put it that way. And I got to thinking about that scripture, meditating on it. I thought, no, that's talking about that. But said, they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. There's a relationship that we will have being pure in heart. Jesus won't have anything else to deal with Him. You're going to have to be in His realm of pureness and all the good things that He has, pureness and righteousness and godliness. We're going to have to be in that realm if we see Him. In other words, if we have a relationship with Him, that's what I'm trying to say. If we have a relationship with Him, that will put us in a place where we can see Him. Because an old sinner can't see God. They don't understand. They don't know what all it is. But he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. They shall see God. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 1. 2 Peter 3 and 1 here. It says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. But he says here, stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Oh, it's easy to stir up some pure minds. It's easy to get us thinking a little deeper, a little more. I never heard that. I've never seen that scripture. I like that. That's exactly what I need. That gives me the victory. I get a hold of it. And the pureness that we have in the connection that we can see and we can grasp between the Word and the Spirit and seeing God and getting connected with Him, that gives us something that you can't get in the world. You can't get out there and sin in any way. It's reserved for His perfect children. 85, when I was in Oregon, you've heard me tell this, I imagine. But I had a vision. We were at the end of a ordinance service. We were standing up and we're singing the last song, and Christ appeared to me in a vision. And I couldn't tell you what he looked like, and I couldn't tell you what he was wearing. But I know the voice of God. And he pointed to me and he said, I died for you, child. That's all he said. That's all he needed to say. That's gone with me for, 47 years now. I died for you. I gave my life. There's a song. Talks about, I've been to Calvary. I don't know, Sister Lisa, if you've ever heard it. I talked to Brother John about it. I've been to Calvary, and it tells a lie. She lived a life about like I did. No drinking, no smoking, no carousing, no nothing. But she hadn't been to Calvary. Now that she'd been to Calvary, she found the great glory of salvation. Oh, folks, there's nothing like it. It's the greatest thing you and I can have. Thank the Lord for that. All right, let's begin to wrap it up. Song of Solomon 5 and 16. Lovely. Lovely. There's a lot of lovely things out there that we can look at. But the greatest thing is the Lord and His Word. Song of Solomon. Okay. Well, having trouble finding it here. Well, Carl Shape. Here it is right here. I was in the wrong spot. Song of Solomon 5 and 15. No, 5 and 16. Song of Solomon 5 and 16. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. His mouth is most sweet, and he is altogether lovely. Ezekiel 33 and 30. So what are we thinking on? How much are we thinking? Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, And they speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee, as the people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, they hear thy words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they shew much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them. They do not do them. All right, so he's saying here, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. And this, my beloved, is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He is altogether, the Lord is altogether lovely. He is altogether beautiful, wonderful. Everything that we need, he's lovely. A good report. All right, let's go to the New Testament, Hebrews 11:2. Hebrews 11:2. Now face substance things, hope for the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. A good report. All right, let's go back to Acts 10:22 and connect them up. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Now then, this is dealing with Peter, if I remember right. And Peter had a vision, and he had showed him that nothing was unclean. And then he's dealing with Cornelius over here about the sanctification and all of God, so to speak. And now Peter's just found out that the Holy Spirit can be given to anybody that's living for God, that's clean, that fears God, that's a good report, a just man, a holy man, a righteous man, that the Holy Spirit can be given to them. And they said, Cornelius, here is a man. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore you see? Why are you come? And then they bring it out that Cornelius is a just man and a righteous man, so to speak. And Peter, he began to preach unto him and begin to open things up, begin to tell him what needed to be done. He had a good report. The Lord wants you and I to have a good report. A report that people can look at and go, hey, I like this. I hear this report. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. The old timers obtained a good report by the faith they had in God and so forth. And the Lord blessed that and worked with that. He wants us to have a good report too. He wants us to have a report that we know what the Lord has done for us. And he wants us to be able to go and people say, well, talk to that person over there. Go see old brother General Sammons over there. General Sammons has got a report for you. Brother Leslie, he's got a report for you. And this thing, that thing, they've got a report. They can tell you things. And the things they'll tell you is going to be true and right. And people go, that's who I'm looking for. Brother Sammons one time had held a tent meeting down in Alabama. This is quite a few years ago. But he had been down there, and he had, they helped him load the truck. But he had gone out that morning and was going to leave. And he went to do something to make a, to turn around, if I remember right, and the truck got stuck. Now, this is a big-bodied truck. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the one that hauls the tents around. And so he got stuck. Well, he got out and examined the situation over. He went to work getting it out. And there was a neighbor that was just up there, and she stood inside to watch him. Now, is this man going to fuss and cuss and throw a fit, or what's he going to do? And the old general just slowly, carefully, done everything he needed to do by himself. I remember he didn't have any help until he got that truck out. I guarantee you she would give him a good report. Yeah, this is a man. And she was quite impressed. I guess she talked to the congregation about it. She was quite impressed about it. So we need a report like that where people watch our lives and then they'll say, I got a report for them. All right, let's go to virtue. Virtue. Virtue is nothing but voluntary obedience to truth. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 1 and 3 here. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and then virtue to knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. The Lord wants us to add to our faith. Add to our faith. And to do that. And then to virtue knowledge. Now again, virtue is voluntary obedience to truth. So the Lord wants us to have a life of doing what he wants us to do with faith, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. And he wants to be able to work with us, help us, and do things with us because of that. All right, let's begin to wrap it on up. Let's go to 13 and 15 of Hebrews. Wow. I don't really know what time you all get free. I'll be through in a minute. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, if you've been around very much, you know that I feel like the saints are not praising the Lord enough. I think it's too quiet. I don't think there's enough praise in the song services or in our preaching services or whatever. It's too quiet. I think the Lord wants us to be praising him more and opening up more to him. And so he said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. And the sacrifice would be something that would be difficult to praise. But he's wanting us to do that continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanking God for everything. I go around during the day thanking the Lord for doing things for me. And like this trip, I was very different times. I said, thank you, Lord, so far for a safe trip. I appreciate that. All right, let's finish up. 2 Peter 1:12. 2 Peter 1 and 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decrease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to his majesty. Now he says here, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. The things that have been preached. In other words, sometimes people get tired of maybe a minister, I'm thinking of a pastor more than evangelist, maybe saying things over. But we want you to get a hold of certain things. We want you to grab them and devour them and say, I got it. I got it. When you teach children and work with children, you work with them till you feel they have it. Rebecca homeschooled both girls 12 years, or till they got through, 12 years, and worked with them. Donna, when Cynthia started, Donna was going, well, where's mine? Why can't I do something? And Rebecca goes, Carl, someone have to get something for her to do. She's not happy doing nothing. Well, I appreciate that. She's ready to dive in too. So Rebecca got her, I don't remember just what all she done, but she got her some things and started working with her. We want everybody to get a hold of this. We don't want to waste our time, so to speak, in preaching and teaching and working with the gospel and nobody ever get anything. We want you to get a hold of what is being brought out. Be established in the present truth. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Going to bring it out more than one time. You're going to hear it different ways maybe, but it's going to be back to the same point, so to speak. All right, 2 Timothy 3 and 16. And I'll be done. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now those two Scriptures, to me, go together somewhat. And he wants us to give these things out to you, where you will deepen down and learn more and be exactly what the Lord would have you to be. I appreciate your time and attention, your prayers this morning.